Job chapter 40 in your Bibles, the book of Job, chapter 40. I had originally planned on preaching a different message tonight because I thought I was going to have to bring a funeral service, amen? But fortunately, I prepared two messages. And so, no funeral service tonight. Job chapter 40, let's read a few verses and then we'll pray. Job 40. Verse 15 says, "Behold, now Behemoth, which I made with thee, he eateth grass as an ox." Verse 19, "He is the chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make his sword to approach unto him. Surely the mountains bring him forth food, where all the beasts of the field play. He lieth under the shady trees, in the covert of the reed and the fens. The shady trees cover him with their shadow. The willows of the brook compass him about." Father, I pray tonight on this night when you are worthy of praise and glory as you are of every night. I pray, Father, that we will open our hearts to your word. And so many times in your word, we see these powerful reminders, these nuggets of truth given because every word is given by inspirations profitable. Speak to us tonight, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Look again, this text in Job 40 is familiar to most of you here. And God's discourse to Job, he mentions this word twice, by the way, not found anywhere else in all of Scripture. Verse 21 says, "He lieth under the shady trees in the covert of the reed and fins." And then it says in verse 22, "The shady trees cover him," that is Behemoth, "with their shadow. The willows of the brook compass him about." Now the word, obviously the words you'll notice in the text are in reference to the shadow. Had to be a pretty big shadow to cover Behemoth. It's cast by, quote, shade trees. You'll notice again, twice in verse 21 and 22, God mentions shady trees, the shadows of which provide comfort and respite, even protection for whatever animal this Behemoth was. Notice what God says again in verse 15, "Behold now Behemoth, which I made with thee, he eateth grass as an ox." In other words, God's reminding Job that some things in creation, in particular, are of significance in nature and in life for all of us. They instruct us, they teach us, they illustrate and remind us of what God does and what does and doesn't matter in this world. In fact, throughout the entire monologue, God has pointed Job to his creation, God's creation, over and again, as a source of knowledge, as a source of wisdom. In chapter 38, look at it with me, would you? Chapter 38. Verse 1 says, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said," and he said so many things. For example, verse 4, "Job, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding." Verse 5, "Who laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who has stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? And who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Pastor, when did that happen? About 10 o'clock last night. Verse 8, "Or who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth, as it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors." And so he goes. Anybody who has seen the documentary Planet Earth, which was astonishing. Now, you have to ignore all the evolution because there's blind people trying to describe what they see. But the photography, and they're making a Planet Earth 2, by the way, in HD. That's amazing. I've seen some of it already. But if you've seen it, you would think that they got their entire script from the dialogue in the book of Job, chapter 38, verse 16. "Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea? Hast thou walked into the search of the depth?" Pastor, how did ancient Job know that there were springs in the deepest part of the sea? Well, Job's not exactly doing the talking here, is he? Chapter 38, verse 19. "Where is the way where light dwelleth? And as for darkness, where is the place thereof?" Verse 22, "Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? Hast thou seen the treasures of hail which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against a day of battle and war. Verse 24, by what way is the light parted, which scattereth the east wind upon the earth? You know, Einstein studied that his entire life. How is the light parted? Never did figure it out. Nobody's going to figure that out. Verse 26, to cause it to rain on the earth where no man is, in the wilderness, wherein there is no man. And of course, it continues in chapter 31. Knowest thou the time when the wild goats of the rock bring forth? Canst thou, Job, mark when the hinds do calve? It goes on in verse 13 and 19 and 26, all the way down. You'll notice in chapter 40 in our text, verse 15, behold, Job, behold, now Behemoth, which I made with thee. Again, God is pointing Job to his marvelous creation, all of the things that he has made and that he has designed, all of which brings glory to him, including, believe it or not, these shade trees. The shade trees in the covert of the reed, he says, the shade trees that cover Behemoth with their shadow. God made those, the Bible says. And by God himself mentioning them to Job, he's reminded us of some very wonderful but vital important truths as Christians. You know, I suppose it would be nearly impossible to preach any sermon that mentions trees or shade trees without mentioning the famous poem, Alfred Joyce Kilmer's famous poem, I Think That I Shall Never See, a poem lovely as a tree. A tree that looks at God all day and lifts her leafy arms to pray. A tree that may in summer wear a nest of robins in her hair. The last stanza says, poems were made by fools like me, but only God can make a tree. Joyce Kilmer was a highly decorated soldier in World War I. He died in battle in no man's land by a sniper's bullet. And you know, Joyce Kilmer wasn't just being sentimental about trees. He was a woodcutter in his hometown in New Jersey, and he did see the Creator's hand in all that we see around us. Through the years have been multitudes of parodies, sort of the poem, The Tree. I wrote my own a few years ago to Brother Remo. It says, I think that I shall never see the dollar that I loaned to thee. But you know what Joyce Kilmer realized was that a single solitary tree is a reminder. It's a reminder of something that Job needed to hear at this time from the mouth of God himself. And I think tonight we need to hear it. Chapter 40, look again, verse 21. He lieth, the behemoth lieth under the shady trees in the covert of the reed and fens. The shady trees cover him with their shadow. The willows of the brook compass him about. Pastor, what exactly are the shade trees supposed to remind us of? What's the message? Well, the first one is obvious, I think. And I want you to think about, number one, the goodness of God. You see, follow this carefully. Job had been complaining a lot. Job had been complaining, understandably, for a very long time about all of the losses in his life. Three in particular. His family, his job, and his health. Family, jobs, and healthcare. And obviously, these are really the big things representing the biggest losses that all of us in this room, any person, can endure. And he's doubting. And he is complaining. And he's wondering if God sees or hears. And God answers Job and reminds him that he has no clue. Job, you have no clue, really, what you're talking about. Did Job think that rainfall was an accident? That the eagle somehow just gets lucky in its migration. That those glorious peacocks and their wings were man-made. Does Job understand light and the sweet influences of Pleiades and Orion and the stars in the sky? And then what about the behemoth, Job? God says, behold him. God says, look at my creation, behemoth, this gigantic creature. People think it's a description of a in chapter 40 of an elephant, a hippopotamus, a mammoth, a woolly mammoth, because he eats grass like an ox. Of course, the problem with that is verse 17, he moveth his tail like a cedar, the sinews of his stones are wrapped together. Hippopotamuses and elephants have little tiny tails, not cedar trees. And then verse 18 says, his bones are as strong as pieces of brass, his bones are like bars of iron, he is the chief of the ways of God. In other words, this is a huge animal. Many creation scientists believe it was God describing a dinosaur that flourished before the flood and so on. I don't know. All I know is it was big and strong. And I know this. God reminded Job twice that it was an animal that rested and received comfort in the simple shadow of a shade tree. You say, Pastor, what's that got to do with me and about the goodness of God? Well, let me just ask you a question. Aside from the big things in life, like our families and our health, our job and our church, things that we either moan to God about often or take for granted, then how about this? How about shade trees? In other words, the little things. Everyday common goodness and graces of life. You know, the shade tree of fresh air, for example. Oxygen to breathe, sunlight in the day. Really, Pastor, for crying out loud, you're going to tell me that you're going to emphasize the air that I breathe every day. You know, air and oxygen are more substantial than shade and a mere shadow. Have you ever been underwater longer than your lungs wanted to be underwater? Air is precious. And if you think about it, God made it perfect for this body and your body. And you receive it every single time you take a breath. Bob Biesaw, Kevin Biesaw's father, met with me this week. And he said, Pastor, I just wanted to sit down and thank you for leading me to Christ. He said, that day you called me to the principal's office, is what he called it, in my old office. And I got saved, and he said, he started listing his blessings and tears coming down his face. But he was on oxygen. And the oxygen was being forced into his lungs. And he knows that that oxygen that he has to have in a bottle is precious, and he doesn't go anywhere without it. Reminded me of those years I took my dad with me to youth conferences. And we had to call ahead at the hotel and make sure they had bottles of oxygen. Because my dad would get a little panic in his eye if one of his bottles was getting low and we were on I-95 somewhere. And so every breath that was pushed into his lungs, you could see, he was breathing. You can breathe tonight. That's a blessing. What about the shade trees? You know, not the necessary daily bread, the shade tree stuff. I'm talking about that extra helping of God's grace that all of us take for granted from time to time. A few years ago, I read a book called The Death and Life of Dith Prahn. Dith Prahn was a survivor of the Cambodian killing fields. 2 million Cambodians, anybody that was a teacher, anybody that was an attorney, that had money, that had college education, or just wouldn't swear an oath to communism. 2 million were either executed or starved to death by the Khmer Rouge, the communists. And you know, one of the most striking things to me in his very heroic story is how he describes in that book the preciousness of a single little tomato. Or one lone tiny piece of a carrot. These forest laborers typically live for 3 to 4 years on rancid rice and gruel, slowly and deliberately being starved to death while they work. So that if ever, he said, if ever in the midst of that labor and that work and that stark, hungry existence, if ever somehow they saw a little piece of fruit or vegetable that had color to it, it made their heart sing with joy. He said one night, desperate for food, Dith Prahn said he noticed some grain. Knowing full well, he said, that I would be beaten to death or executed just outright, he said, I still couldn't resist. I reached out and I grabbed a little handful of that grain and literally ate it dry. And sure enough, he was beaten and left to die, bound hand and foot. But it was so good, he didn't die, of course, it was so good, so uniquely enjoyable to him that he figured it was worth every bit of it. Now, folks, every day of our lives, we sit under the shade trees of God's everyday goodness, and we rest in the shadows of his simplest blessings. God says, look at this giant animal. You see that tree over there? That tree just happens to give shade because that big animal needs to get out of the sun and to be cooled off by something as simple as a shadow. Food and water, air to breathe. What about the shade tree of friends, fellowship, family, fun? You say, Pastor, I don't believe in having fun. I know, I can tell. But you know what God says? Look at verse 20. Surely the mountains bring him forth food where all the beasts of the earth play. Play? Really? You know, I looked that word up some time ago to see if it actually means what I think it means. And sure enough, it means exactly what you think it means. In fact, twice in Job, the exact same word is translated to laugh. Several times it's translated, quote, to make merry. It's the same word that Zechariah uses when he says the kingdom will include the streets full of boys and girls, quote, playing therein. In other words, God's creation also included joy, and it was intended for play. It's a Bible word. You got in Job grass, trees, water, and sand. That, beloved, is a golf course. Amen? God created golf courses. Men created malls. That's all I'm going to say about that. But in a world that is arid and this world is hot and it's rough and it's unaccommodating to the spiritual soul, in a world where we are surrounded by enemies of the gospel, by enemies of this book, the anger from last night, the anger of people who are so pro-abortion, who despise the fact, absolutely despise the fact, that a vice presidential candidate would say, give glory to God. I mean, their heads were exploding. Because there's anger and hatred towards what? In this kind of a world, the shade of fellowship, the shade of friends and laughter and joy, this is God's blessing. This is God's goodness to us. And it can make all the difference in the world. The behemoth, if it didn't have a place to just sit and rest on its heartbeat and its blood pressure, it would have died sooner on. The shade was a blessing. I know it's a common theme from this pulpit, but Christians can never be reminded too much that our God is good to us. We can never overemphasize the grace of God. The shady trees cover him with their shadow, and they cover us as well. It's the goodness of God. You say what you want, beloved, but to live in a nation, to be able to live in a free country where you can fire, get rid of someone who's pro-abortion and hire someone who's not, that's a blessing. That's a blessing the rest of the world can hardly even imagine. Number two, after the goodness of God, it also teaches us about the gratitude of man. Chapter 40, look at it again, verse 20. Surely the mountains bring from forth food. Where all of the beasts of the field play. He lieth under the shady trees in the covert of the reed and fens. The shady trees cover him with their shadow, and the willows of the brook compass him about. Here's a question. Anytime you have a shade tree, you have, as a result of that tree, all of this helpful and beneficial shade, right? That's what he's saying. Now, here's the question. When did Behemoth plant those trees? When did he provide for the shade that he now enjoys? Where did he get the foresight to do that? Well, the answer, of course, is he didn't. He just shows up, sees it over there, recognizes what it will do for him, and lays down under it. And that's exactly how God designed it. But you know, there's an old proverb that says, one generation plants a tree, the next generation enjoys its shade. You see, the behemoth isn't alone when it comes to enjoying and receiving benefits from shade that it didn't provide for. Job did as well. And you know, every single one of us here enjoys tonight, even. We enjoy the blessing of shady trees that we didn't plant, that we didn't cultivate. And that's fine. In fact, that's good. God designed it that way, so long as we're mindful, so long as we're grateful, and so long as we're responsible with the shade that we enjoy because others before us have provided it. You know, we're not beasts like Behemoth and Leviathan. We are children of God. And as children of God, we ought always to recognize, as Paul said, that we are debtors. We are beneficiaries of somebody else's goodness and investment, which is critical. Critical to both the enjoyment of the blessing and the stifling of pride and apathy in our hearts. This Sunday in the bulletin, you're going to see a little reminder that this month is the 60th anniversary of Beacon Baptist Church, originally Jupiter Baptist Church, long, long, long before I was here, obviously. And in it, you're going to see a link that you can go when you get home, and it's got every year. Brother Evan spent a lot of time working on this. 1987, even before that, in the 50s, and it'll have pictures, and you just click on it and go down, you'll see pictures from each year. And you'll see me with hair. And you'll see your kids when they're little, and there's some videos on there, and there was a video of the Blombergs in our old auditorium on Center Street. They're singing in our last Thanksgiving service in that building before we came over here. And after watching that, I thought about all the Thanksgiving services we've enjoyed on that property. For me, it was over 20 years worth. And as going through the pictures, I was reminded yet again of Brother Lamerson, 1950s, and many others through the years, men and women who gave and who sacrificed, who prayed, who served. Many people whose names I don't even know. You'll read some names on there you may recognize, but many you won't know. But what I do know, and what I see when I see that, is that we have enjoyed shade from trees that they helped to plant some 60 years ago, 50 years ago, 40 years ago. In other words, when I baptized my two boys in the old auditorium, and then Benjamin in the new auditorium on Center Street, I was enjoying the shade of trees that others had provided. And every time I walked into church and I heard people singing the praises of God, I was sitting in the shade that others had provided by the hand and the help of God. Every church fellowship, right? Every watch night service, every Christmas cantata, every wedding, think of all the weddings, every communion service, every Awana meeting, junior church, VBS, every message by a guest speaker or a missionary. Brother Fry told me before the service tonight, "Pastor, thank you for Missions Month. The things I saw, the things I heard blessed me." But all of that blessing, you name it, I realize if it was done on that property over there, and now this one, it is in part because of the faithfulness and sacrifice of people who came before us. You know, recognize that. Almost every week on the news, we're reminded, as we should be, of how many American lives have been lost in battle somewhere in this war on terror. This administration will not call it combat operations, but we have American soldiers still dying. 2 weeks ago, another one died. And you know, one lost soldier, one lost American young man or young woman represents an amazing amount of heartache and sorrow for a wife, a mother, a father, children. One life affects so many people. That's why it's so angering to me when I see someone like Colin Kaepernick not stand up at the pledge and kneel down. He's disrespecting people who gave their lives and still give their lives. Let me just issue a reminder with this. During Vietnam, there were over 47,000 lives that were lost. In that first Gulf War, 1,565. In the Korean conflict, 54,000 American lives. In the Second World War, 416,000. Talking about battle deaths. In the American Civil War, people always want to point back, well, you know, this country has not been good. It's been good when you had people give their lives in a civil war. In the Civil War, there were 620,000 lives. from both sides. In the war on terror, there have been already 6,852 lives. In other words, look, an awful lot of shade that we enjoy tonight, freedom, security, prosperity, is due to those who came before us. And it's not just the sacrifices of those who died, but also the sacrifices of those who served. And this Friday, a couple days from now, is Veterans Day. Think about that. The people served on our behalf. One of the things I appreciated about the speech last night is that the president-elect said, "I appreciate the Secret Service." And I thought to myself, they must finally love to be recognized that they're putting their lives. They will jump in front of a bullet. And they have been abused and disabused for so long. It was just refreshing to hear it. Someone recognized their service. Ecclesiastes 9, you may remember this. I'm going to read it to you. It's a little story. It's an interesting little story. Listen to what it says. Verse 14, Ecclesiastes 9. "There was a little city and few men within it. And there came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man. And he, by his wisdom, delivered the city." Isn't that a great story? That is a great story. That's a story about a city that was being besieged. An enemy came and put a bulwark around it, and that means they're gonna starve to death. And when they get weak and almost dead from starvation, they come in and slaughter everybody. What a story. But one poor wise man, we're not told how he did it, what he invented, or what he told them to do, but whatever he did, he delivered the city. What a great story, right? It has a bad ending. Here's the last line of that verse. It says, "Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he, by his wisdom, delivered the city." Here's the last line. "Yet no man remembered that same poor man." Here's a whole city sitting in the shade of trees that were planted by a man that nobody remembers. I'm not suggesting tonight that we remember all the names of all the young people in the Vietnam Memorial. Rick was 6 years old when I took him to see the Vietnam Memorial in Washington. There's so many names. And I put my hand on many of them. I'm not saying you remember all the names. You can't. But you know what we can remember and be grateful for are the shade trees that we enjoy because of them. And the shade that we didn't necessarily provide for. Because I tell you what, folks, unless you want your spirit to dry up and become as bitter and angry as the left is in this country, unless you want to grow into a bitter, self-centered man or woman, then you be aware and grateful, A, for the goodness of God, and B, for the investments that God has used in others' lives who have made enrichment in your own life. I remind you of the Jebusites. We preached on them here before, as you know, a tribe of people that God honors in his word. We don't know anything about them, hardly, except for what God said when he honored them. He honored them for doing one thing. You see, the Jebusites simply remembered the kindness that Saul had shown them years before. And recognizing that they were still enjoying the shade of Saul's kind act, they didn't have to do this. They weren't going to get rewarded for it because Saul was dead. They risked their lives to restore his honor. And God took note of that. And it is that very recognition in Scripture that God honored that leads me to the last thing I want to say. The third lesson of the text is number 3, giving of yourself. Look, in other words, someone provided shade for you. What about you? Here in chapter 42, look at it, would you? Just turn ahead a page. It says in verse 5 these words, "I have heard thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee." You know, the Lord, God really let Job have it. I mean, you got to read that sometime just slowly. Let him have it. And Job said, "I've heard you. And here's his response, verse 6. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Do you know what Romans 2:4 says? The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. God says, look how good I've been. Look what I've done. Look what I've made. Look who I am. Look at what I've created. And Job said, I repent. The goodness of God does lead us to repentance. In other words, it's not only recognizing the goodness of God and being grateful for the shade of other men and women by his goodness, but then seeing it and enjoying it and being grateful for it leads you to give of yourself and myself. Being the kind of Christian whose life provides a shade for other people. You know, the Bible tells us that our Lord Jesus was hung upon a tree. We're talking about trees tonight. Well, we are going to sit in the shade of that one tree for all of eternity. Forever. The scripture also says that Christ suffered for us, leaving for us an example that ye should follow his steps. That's 1 Peter 2:21. But guess what? Verse 24 says this, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. In other words, all this wonderful shade isn't just to stop with you or stop with me. It is also for that sin-scorched world who need the shade of Christ exemplified in your life. You know, instead of worrying about your carbon footprint, I read that again this week. You be concerned about your carnal footprint and make a difference in people's lives. I'm not impressed with Jay-Z and Beyonce and Hollywood celebrities and rock musicians who want to save the earth and suddenly they love trees and polar bears. Not when they spend their entire lives becoming wealthy on a life and philosophy that scorches and destroys people's lives, including little girls, which suddenly people seem to be concerned about. Their music is what they hear. Their lifestyle is what they follow. They promote this Hollywood crowd, this society that, again, as I mentioned a moment ago, despises what we believe. They promote diseases that destroy people, child pornography and addiction and abortion. It's not shade they give. They're not giving shade, beloved. It's desolation and destruction. It doesn't matter how many cats they adopt or tell you to adopt. It doesn't matter how many trees they plant. If you want to see some real shade, look at a man or a woman who raised godly children. And those young people grow up and go out into this world as fruitful, Christ-honoring, decent human beings. That's the shade that blesses a nation. Be that kind of shade. A few years ago, my dad, before he went to heaven, wanted me to see where he grew up as a boy in a little place called Harold Store, North Carolina. That's the name of the town. It's called Harold Store, North Carolina, because that's all it had was Harold's store right there. We drove and we drove out into the woods, one of the weeks of youth conference. When we came to my dad's boyhood home, it's a little white house out in the country, had a porch all the way around. His grandpa, he said, his grandfather built that house. And he said, Jimmy, you see these shade trees, these big pecan trees here? He said, my grandpa and my daddy planted those. And I used to sit there when I came back from Japan and the Army. I'd sit there and spit and whittle, he said, and shoot squirrels. Somebody planted those trees. Looking at my dad, I realized that wasn't all that his grandpa planted. He planted character and integrity and love. Tonight, are you mindful of the goodness of God? And as such, are you grateful so that now you give of your own self? I was thinking yesterday about all the Wednesday night services through the years following some big event. I remember very well that first Gulf War, and on Wednesday night in the old building on Center Street, we came and we had church and we prayed because literally that night, the big Gulf War started. I remember the Wednesday after 9/11, when 9/11 was on a Tuesday, that Wednesday night. I mean, shell shock. We came to church and sang and and prayed and put our trust in God. I remember the Wednesday before Jean and Francis in 2004. They were 2 weeks apart, those hurricanes. And then tonight, the Wednesday after Dorothy's house fell on that. I'm just kidding, of course. Take that off of the tape, would you, back there? Make that sound there. But, you know, looking back and through the years and seeing God's goodness and God providing a little shade here and a little shade there, reminding us that it's our calling now to provide shade for others around us, most especially the shade of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and I pray that we will recognize, Lord, that all around us are so many tokens of your grace and your goodness and your faithfulness, your promises. So many answered prayers, always and every day. And I pray, Father, that we, in recognizing it, will not only be grateful, but motivated to be shade-giving trees our own selves. Thank you for that tree that will provide shade for us for all of eternity that Christ hung upon. And we praise you for these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.